The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord. This first Sunday in Lent is sometimes referred to as Temptation Sunday because every year on this Sunday we have in the gospel an account of Jesus' temptation in the desert. Now this Sunday we have the shortest version of his temptation. It doesn't really give us any detail as we find in the gospels of Matthew and Luke. This account of Jesus' temptation in the desert also parallels our own 40 days of fasting in Lent. And we're reminded of the temptations of our first parents, also Adam and Eve. Now, those first temptations of Adam and Eve led to unimaginable catastrophe that continues to plague the human race and will continue to plague us until the end of the world. Your life and mine are actually constantly limited and frustrated by the effects of original sin. All the difficulties, all the sufferings in our lives are all rooted in the confusion that came about by way of that original temptation and sin. And when we read that the temptation of Jesus Christ in the wilderness takes place at the beginning of his public life, we see that Jesus takes on Satan himself. Satan, who'd been torturing the human race for so many years, and Jesus defeats him in the very first encounter. Now, there evidently were no witnesses to this, and so we have in Scripture the witness that would have been provided by Jesus himself. Now, St. Paul tells us that everything written in Scripture is for our instruction. The early church fathers understood that the various challenges that Satan gave to Christ in the wilderness conveyed specific warnings to us. There's the rejection of self-indulgence, rejection of pride, presumption and power. And later on, Jesus will refer to the prince of this world and his tools, the lust of the flesh or self-indulgence, the lust of the eyes, which can be seen as a desire for power over others, like the kingdoms of this world, and the pride of life, pointed to by Satan's, I think it's in the Gospel of Luke, rather stupid suggestion that Jesus perform some miraculous acrobatics. Now, the truth is that modern people don't think very often about Satan or the prince of darkness. In fact, the very subject of Satan, in other words, Satan as a person who is the very essence of evil, the very subject of Satan, many people find simply astonishing, if not totally absurd. One of our presidential candidates, you may remember, has been ridiculed mercilessly in the media when someone discovered that in a talk at a Catholic university a few years ago, he had gone on at length about Satan and his minions systematically destroying America in terms of our culture, in our schools, in our churches, and of course, in our politics. I read a few days ago that there's a prominent bishop in England. This today is issuing a pastoral letter urging Catholics during Lent to confront the terrifying reality of hell, because in the bishop's assessment, so many baptized Christians are losing a sense of Satan. losing a sense of the so-called last things that have to do with death, our personal judgment, and destination of our immortal souls to heaven or hell, as well as the reality of the resurrection of our bodies. Now, in some way, maybe this is a little bit surprising, particularly for anyone who's a little bit older here, since the 20th century saw so many devastating wars and lots of terrorism that ultimately can only be understood in terms of the satanic. The 20th century also saw more Christians martyred than in the previous 19 centuries combined. And unfortunately, it's only after the horrific, unimaginable damage is done that people will finally realize that they themselves have unwittingly played into the hands of evil, which is what Satan is all about. Now, for some of us of a certain generation or even older than me, we think of the mysterious rise of Adolf Hitler in 1930s Germany. The Germans back in the 1930s, and evidently many, many Americans today, are not aware that in their lives, in their lifestyles, in their choices, and of course in their politics and their choices of politicians they put in office, they are actually in partnership with the devil. They've effectively chosen for themselves, they've chosen for their families, for their nations, death rather than life. One has to say, one sees this obviously, for example, in the election of an American president who, as a state senator in Illinois, supported the killing of children even as they are being born, and that's called partial birth abortion. He's the one who, in Illinois, as state senator, worked to protect doctors who would kill children who had been born alive, totally born alive, and had managed to survive an attempted botched abortion. He wanted them to be protected from prosecution if they then let these children die. This same politician was actually elected, the candidate. He was the candidate of the Communist Party USA in 2008. And guess what? The same politician, again, is the candidate of the Communist Party USA in 2012. And what is even more disgusting, people who say they are Catholic close their eyes to the obvious horror of this unconscionable evil in our midst. Brothers and sisters, this is America's present horrific reality, which we, with our eyes open, are passing to our children and grandchildren. Nazi Germany, which had given itself over to total evil in the 1930s, only learned their bitter lesson in the 1940s, when their country was reduced to rubble and then subjected to decades of humiliating occupation by foreign powers. You know, I remember, I still have it somewhere, a fascinating article in a 1938 issue of National Geographic on the city of Berlin. This world-class, dynamic, fabulously beautiful, prosperous city of Berlin, about the size of Chicago, filled with great schools, great universities, beautiful boulevards, luxury department stores. They had everything, most technologically advanced city you could find in the world. They had mail deliveries 2 times a day in Berlin and other major cities in Germany. In Berlin, you could walk into the telephone company office and speak by television to your friend in another part of Germany. This was in 1938. And what happened? About 6.5 years later, this had all been reduced to rubble. The whole place was rubble. All this was gone. Now, back to us. Perhaps if you and I were brutally honest with ourselves, we would have to admit that even if we may have never purposely done evil, we have gone along with evil. We have perhaps kept silent when we should have protested against it. And this, for all of us, is a very uncomfortable thought. But then we think that not even the apostles stood by Jesus at his time of trial. Any thoughtful person ought to be able to see the hand of God in the beauty of the created world, to be able to see the hand of God in the generosity of a good friend, a faithful soul. Jesus Christ is present to us in so many ways and on so many occasions that I suppose we often encounter him without much thought that it is Jesus who is there. We may not think of giving him thanks, but equally unseen and perhaps generally outside our awareness is a very dark counterforce, the bleak and direct opposite of Jesus Christ, and it is evil and it is personified in the person of Satan. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? God gave his son to free us from evil. Evil which contains within itself all of the suffering in this world. Now, evil may be monstrous like the Nazis or the Soviets or a Cuban concentration camp. It might be hidden infanticide under the nice-sounding but mindless slogan of choice. You might find it personified in politicians who sell their souls to the abortion industry. We find tremendous evil in the drug culture, all kinds of places it can be found. But it could also be found in any one of us, whenever we would simply go along with the tide. And we who sometimes actually would have to cringe at the thought of risking our comfort, risking our lives, risking jail, to personally confront evil. Lent calls each one of us to resist temptation and to seek God's grace to enable us to do this. But Lent also calls each one of us to look carefully at how we ourselves might be involved in evil by our silence. Yes, we should repent of our past sins. That doesn't need to take much time. It can be done briefly and quietly. But we should also do our best to concentrate on the present. And there's a lot for the Christian to do in the present in our immoral and pagan culture. And St. James puts it well, to care for the widow and the orphan in their need, and to keep oneself unspotted by the world. All of Jesus' apostles, including the great missionary apostle, St. Paul, learned that they had to be vigilant all the time. And Lent offers us the ideal opportunity for silent self-examination, for looking inward and finding the presence of God, for listening to the inspirations that the Holy Spirit gives us, for measuring our own lives against the standard of the gospel. And we could start by looking at the standard that Jesus gives us in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Sacred Scripture, the Bible, is the living Word of God, and it cuts deeply into the lies of into the lies and falsehoods that you and I can entertain about ourselves. When Lent is over, hopefully we'll feel a certain exhilaration when we realize that during these 40 days, we have made a little bit of progress toward the truth. And we pray together, Lord Jesus Christ, your temptation teaches us so much. Grant us the grace of the Holy Spirit to know what we must do and the strength to take the next good step. Strengthen us that we may recognize the works of darkness, the works of Satan, and the grace to avoid our involvement, our consent to evil. Give us the truth to know what is good, to choose life, And do not let us be collaborators in evil. Amen.